Our series has been entitled Messages from the Movies. I like using contemporary things to identify and highlight spiritual truths. So, Messages from the Movies. I'm just trying to reference a secular movie that many of us have seen. Some you've not seen the movie. And draw a principle that the movie really highlights and say, this is what the Bible has to say about that subject, and to go a little bit deeper on that subject, and then try to take whatever that subject is and apply it to your life. So we've dealt with the movies Unbroken, Schindler's List, and last week, The Fellowship of the Ring. If you remember Lord of the Rings, that was the first movie. The topics we've covered is forgiving the fallen. People sin against us. People do stupid things. We do stupid things. And we need forgiveness to move past those moments, or they haunt you and they're like termites inside of your soul, those issues. If we don't forgive a person, it begins to eat. It's almost like a cancer inside of us. So we talk about forgiving the fallen from the story of Unbroken. When we talk about Schindler's List, it's helping the what? Helping the helpless. And there's a great many people in our culture that are truly helpless. Not the people who just think they need help or they want help, but there are truly people who are helpless, no fault of their own. And we can, as individual, as families, as a church, do something. Can you help everybody? No. But you can what? You can help one person. So as we think about that, we then went into The Fellowship of the Ring, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit movie, all of that type of stuff. And we really talked about being on mission, banding together, being on mission, having a company of people that we can trust, people, a group of people who we're linked to. If you remember the little rings that we handed out, that spiritually they're our kinfolk. They may not be family, they may not be school chums, but because they have Jesus in them and you have Jesus in you, you can link up together with them and on your spiritual journey. I mentioned our Friday men's group that meets in Charlotte for the last four and a half years. We've met together every Friday, 7 in the morning. Shane Hickey joined us this week, and we hope that Shane will continue to be a part of that group. But if you want a group of women, a group of men, or people that you want to be connected to help you spiritually, that is not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. Because as you bond together, the Bible talks about the fact that you take several cords. One cord you could snap, piece of string. Put two together and start winding them together. Take three, it's virtually impossible for you to pull them apart. When you connect with people spiritually, it helps you and it helps them. And that's how we accomplish great things for God, if you will. So my intent in the series, some people get whacked out, especially if they're really churched, really churched people. They think a pastor has to stand in a three-piece polyester suit and that they have to drone on and on and on, get into all kinds of Greek words, talk above your head and impress you with how wonderful they are. That's not the case. A pastor's job is to help people look at the Word of God and apply it to their life in a contemporary manner so that they can actually live it out today, not just have head knowledge, but heart knowledge that transitions to hand action, if you will. So some people really freak out about that. And here's what we need to understand about media. As I use media, whether it's TV, music, movies, all media, including Christian media, is trying to what? Yeah, sell you something. It doesn't have to be popcorn. It's some idea, some philosophy, some lifestyle. They're attempting to influence you to be something or to do something. Every piece of media is designed that way. Do you understand that? And if we settled for simple entertainment and just watch a program, whatever it may be, watch as we scroll, look at these reels. If that's all we do is entertain ourselves, have some no brain time. Relax, if you will. If you disengage your brain, that is what the media producers are wanting you to do. They want you to just sit and not what? Not think. It's all subliminal. The messages are there. So we have, as Christians, we have to be discerning. Discerning. Now, you as a parent, or you having grown up with parents, have you ever had a parent do that to you? So ask yourself, why? Because as we're trying to shield somebody from seeing or hearing, where are her eyes looking? She's looking at something. Oh, I can't let my child, but it's okay if I... Do you see anything wrong with that? And do you think a child picks up on that? Yeah. So you should be discerning. Now let me ask you this. Have you, when you've watched a TV show, listened to music, read an article, gone to the movies, have you ever said, yeah, this is not fit for human consumption? Have you turned it off, gotten up, walked out, thrown something away? We should probably do more of that. But I'm not advocating that we're book burners or boycott movies. What I'm saying is if you're going to watch something, you watch it with a degree of discernment. Now, there are certain movies, they have rating systems, and I think those rating systems could probably be lowered some. In the sense that there's some things they say are PG, they would have been R 10, 15 years ago. But if you're going to watch something as adults, you need to talk about it. You need to think about it. And I'm not saying you protest it, but you're saying, what is that saying to us? And how do we as Christians react to it? What does the Word of God say about the subject? And that means we talk with our children and our teenagers also. You can go home now. You just heard a really good sermon. Just be a little bit more discerning than what we are. So the name of our movie today is, I don't know how many of you have seen this. I'm actually going to do a show of hands. I figured the first three movies were movies that may have been seen more. They were, we would say, more popular across our culture and around the world. This is a movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Okay, for a lot of, like Lord of the Rings, my favorite series, love that. When you think about movies that touch your heart, it's sort of like the little boy that sees this lady and gives her a ball to be what? Kind to her. This is a movie, it's all about kindness. And when I watch this movie, it really is, it has a great family emphasis. But it, much more than it's okay to take your kids to or your teens to, it's a movie I think every human being should watch, a movie like this on a regular basis, because our hearts grow callous. We live in an increasingly hostile world, in a cynical world, in an unloving world. And when you watch something like this, it makes your little heart go, I can't even squeak. I'll just say, so the movie is called Wonder. How many have seen it? Okay, not enough of you, I'll tell you that. It's called Wonder. Now, you say, where do you get it? That's why God gave us Google, for you to find out where you can get it. The movie is Wonder. It's a wonderful film, wonderful family film, wonderful human film, because it deals with the subject of kindness. The plot deals with a 10-year-old boy. His name's Augie. This is Augie. Augie Pullman, smart, witty, but he has some severe facial deformities. He has a very rare disease called Treacher-Collins syndrome. It's a real thing, from which he has had to endure 27 surgeries. Okay. You and I, we may never have seen a person with this, you can imagine if that were you, and you're still of school age, what are you going to have to endure? And even after school, what will you have to endure? And the movie, while it's It's not a true story. It takes a true story and puts it into characters that you and I can relate to. And the author of the book that wrote the book, it's based on her experience with somebody that had this disease. Augie is a Star Wars enthusiast. Now, I don't know how many of you are. When we grow up as little boys and little girls, don't you want to be something? Nobody says, I just want to be an adult. You want to be some kind of adult. My son's biggest dream in his life growing up, and I remember looking at his mother going, did we drop him on his head, was to be a bug exterminator. For years, that's all he talked about. Well, that can be handy, you know, if you've got bugs. But, you know, it's probably not the thing you're going to write to your best friend. Yeah, my kid wants to be a bug exterminator. Okay, he kind of got out of that. Augie wants to be, what do you think, an astronaut. So he dresses up. The Star Wars thing thrilled him. He's got a complete astronaut uniform. Here he has the helmet. But he didn't want people to be able to see him. See his face. He didn't want to have to talk with people. So it's very easy. You just flip the little visor, what? You don't. But also, while you're still living in amongst people, you're isolated from them. How many of us, we've worn an astronaut uniform, a little helmet. We hide something that we're dissatisfied, something that we don't like, something that would be noticeable to others. We hide it. Just think of how you dress. Say, I am not ashamed of my skinny legs at all. Okay? But aren't you? Don't you look in the mirror sometimes and go, so makeup, 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 makeup. You comb over, whatever it may be. All of us have some physical issue. And as adults, we sort of have learned to handle it, or we grow callous. Can you imagine a kid like that, what he has to go through? So he hides. You hide if you go through a divorce. You hide if you're overweight or if you're hyper thin. You hide if you have a speech impediment. I had it not only a speech impediment where when I was a kid, I know what some of you are thinking, well, you still got it, dummy. I had to go to speech therapy classes or I could not move from one grade to the next. And because of it, a sickness that I had when I was younger in grade school, I had very little coordination in terms of eye, hand, leg. I could not skip. I could not skip until I was 15 years of age. It's a coordination problem. So, I was a junior high kid. And in gym class, we had to skip. Any of you ever had anything like that in your life? Or it's one thing if it's you. What if it's your kid? How do you help them deal with stuff like that? Life can hurt, and people can be hurtful. Would you agree? Now, I'll bet everybody here, my guess, has been hurt over something in your life by somebody, or you just looked in the mirror and you said, God, what the, fill in the blank, was wrong with you? You're saying that to God. Look what I am. You're not happy with intelligence. You're not happy because you've tested and you've got some cognitive disability or whatever, and you get mad at God and you take it out on everybody else. But there's also some of us here. I don't think it's everybody, but I think everybody here has tried to hurt somebody else because it's a way of making you look what? Better. It's a way also to deflect attention from you to what? Someone else. In school, we call them bullies. We have bullies in life, in the adult world. True. Don't you think it's time we start acting more like Jesus and less like us? And that means one of the things that Jesus was kind. It's a simple word. Hey, it's a four-letter word. Now think about that. You're not supposed to say four-letter word. Sure you can. Love. Kind. What would happen if everybody in this room this week just practiced kindness? You were just nice to people. Yeah, but you don't know who I'm married to. Just practice kindness with your what? Lips, with your eyes, with your hands, and see if that does not make a... It's the challenge to you for this week. Just be kind. So Augie is a Star Wars enthusiast. His parents are wonderfully played by Julia Roberts, many of you would know her, and Owen Wilson. Are you familiar with them? Okay, now if you had Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson as your parents, would that be a fun home? Oh man, laughter would be insane. But even with parents who seemingly have it all together, parents can bear the burden of their children's pain and grief. And as you watch the film, if you're a parent, you agonize for them and with them as they watch their child have to go through life. One of the really touching scenes in the movie is when his parents watch their son do what I call walk the gauntlet. Walk the gauntlet. That he's been homeschooled. It's now the first day of fifth grade. About fourth, fifth grade, kids are really becoming socially conscious, right? Their son now has to go to a public school, a place he's never been to. He goes to school, he's got his helmet on. And dad has to remove the helmet. Very touching scene. But this scene here is incredible. Because every parent, I think, would choke up. If you don't choke up, I don't know if that you're a parent. You choke up as Julia Roberts is hiding behind her husband. And she says, oh, please, God, let them be nice to him. Have you ever felt that for your kid? Augie learns by going to school firsthand the meaning of one of my favorite sayings. I said this last week. Everyone is what? Somebody else's weirdo. When I die, that could go on my tombstone. Okay? Everybody is somebody else's weirdo. And when somebody's a weirdo, people gang up on the weirdo. Or they exclude them. And whether you're excluded or whether you're ganged up on, you feel that pain. Would you agree? Yeah. So he has to learn this the hard way. And there we have the table. The table. Called the bully table. That's where they all sit, you know. Now you look at them, you say, I'd like to go in there and just smack half of them. And the other half of the kids have put their heads in the toilet because they're all smaller than me. But when you're one of the weirdos and that group of kids has you in their sight, they can have no mercy on you. I was a high school freshman, came into Springfield High School. Springfield High School had a lot of tough kids in it. We were a really good sports team. We became a sports school. We became an incredible sports school, an even better academic school as I went through school in 4 years thereafter. I came in as a freshman, and there's a bunch of bullies on the football team. You know the type, don't you? They play tackle. I was 140-pound guard on the JV football team. I was also probably next to Rick Abbott, who comes to church here. I might have been the fastest kid on the JV football team. I was just quick. You know, when you're small, you got to learn to hide and get away from people. So I was also about as cocky then as I am now. So the bullies, Ron Scarborough, John Engel, Lou Seri, and the others, decided to grab me after school, before football practice. Grabbed me at my locker. If you go to the old Springfield High School, I can take you right to my locker, turn you right around to where this event happened. They were known for taking freshmen or people they didn't like and giving them a stoolie. Anybody remember a stoolie? Yeah, not one of your more pleasant experiences. They take your head into the toilet and flush it. And the toilet may have been used or may not have been used. So they're trying to drag me, and these are the big, burly guys, and I fought them. I'm swinging, I'm kicking, I'm doing everything. They pulled me off my locker, picked me up, threw me this way right into the trophy case, smashing most of the glass. That's what bullies do. That's what bullies do. Whether they throw you into it or they just call you names, they spread rumors about you, they do whatever. That's what bullies do. So he has to survive the bully table, and one of those little bullies there is his arch enemy. They then, in fifth grade, get the seventh graders. To gang up on Loggy too. So, that's the movie. Without going into all the wonderful details and the fantastic ending, Google will tell you how to watch this movie or purchase it. Choosing kindness is a theme throughout Scripture. We see verses on it. Kindness is one of the main characteristics of our loving God. But kindness is not a feeling. Kindness is an action. It's an intentional action done by somebody else, done by you for someone else. You don't have to feel. You can, but it's not the feeling. It is the what? It's the action of helping somebody else, treating them with respect, making them feel human, not identifying whatever weirdness it is about that person or whatever your preconceived prejudice is towards the person. Jesus treated people kindly. One of the things Heather said, and one of her reasons for coming to Christ is because of the kindness of Paul and Kelly, but also the kindness of this church. So many of you have treated her and her family with kindness. Kindness goes a long way. And you know, if you're treated with kindness, eventually you hope it flips the switch inside of you and you begin to treat what? Others in a kind manner. Kindness is an intentional choice. It's something you choose to do. You're either going to do it or you're not. You demonstrate unconditional love. Doesn't matter if they're black, doesn't matter if they're gay, doesn't matter if they're Democratic. Okay. Or if they're Republican, or if they're straight, or whatever else. You treat them as a human being, as somebody that God cares greatly about. And in order to do that, sometimes you got to look inside of you and say, what's wrong with me where I think I'm better than them, or I dislike them, or I hate them? Folks, we could be kinder than what we are. And you make a choice either to be kind or what? Or not. Unconditional love, compassion, and to do something good for somebody else. You can't be kind to everybody, but you can be today kind to one person. And that's our challenge this week. Just choose kindness. Jesus went beyond being kind to just his family. That's hard to do. Just be kind to your family even. Think of how we speak to one another. How when we watch one member of the family do something and you know you could get out of your lazy butt chair and go over the, not lazy boy, lazy butt chair, and go help them, and you choose what? To ignore, or you choose not to. Being kind to our family is where we start. Because why? We're with them every day, folks. And if we can't treat one another in our home kindly, then anything else we do outside of the home is a facade. It's a fake. For some reason, that's probably not very nice. You choose to be kind to others and not your family because they will give you something. They don't know you as well, and that's a horrible reason to fake kindness. So we have to go home this week and start it in our family. Then we start in our community, and that may mean your church, could mean your neighborhood, could be your school, your workplace. And as we practice kindness in our family, in our community, then we can begin to practice kindness to others with our national and a religious identity to others at large. But you got to practice. You got to start it somewhere, right? And what better place than your home? Don't tell me you don't know what I live with, because let me ask the other person. Being kind. Jesus was kind to the people who were the weirdos in his culture. The weirdos. So you don't just start with a weirdo. You start with people that you care about. You say you care about. Your kids, your extended family, your spouse, the people in your home group, the people at the church. Start with people that you know, and as you practice being kind there, it's easier to be kind to me, the weirdo in your life. It's really hard unless you start somewhere easy and begin to develop the skills. So turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Lovely story. Mark chapter 1, verse 39 through 42. It's not a huge passage, but it's a passage that teaches kindness. And Jesus is the role model here. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus encounters a leper. Not a leopard, but a leper. Person with a disease. Augie had a disease that did this to him. He didn't ask for it. It's what he encountered in life. Most of us who suffer didn't ask for our suffering. There's a few of us that you did something really stupid, so you're paying the price, right? Vast majority of us, we're suffering because of somebody else or something. In Mark chapter 1, verse 39 through 42, leprosy disfigures you. Great lesions, open sores, your fingers would actually rot off, toes. It was a horrible, horrible disease. It was physically, it would deform you, but it also spiritually deforms you. If you had leprosy, you were not part of the Jewish community. You couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't go to the synagogue. You couldn't actually live in a village with real people. You either went to outside of the village and lived by yourself, or you found a couple other lepers like you. And if you walked down the street and you saw somebody coming at you walking down the road, you'd have to put your hand over your mouth and start screaming, "Unclean, unclean," to give them the heads up that you were coming. How'd you like to live your life that way? That's a leper. So in verse 39, so, we're moving from where he was into a new story. So he traveled throughout Galilee. Simple thought for you is always think about scripture. Just don't read it, check it off. As he traveled throughout what? Galilee. Every day you and I are somewhere. Do you realize that? It may be I'm in my lazy butt chair and now I'm over to the refrigerator. He just traveled. Okay, we're all traveling somewhere. He's traveling through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, driving out demons. This is Jesus. There's always people in need of God's word. And there are always people who are suffering. Jesus, as he travels, is encountering people who need to hear God's love for them, but he's also encountering people who, until they have some sort of deliverance, some sort of healing, some sort of love in their life, they'll never listen to God or anything about God. We see Jesus here with both kinds. Verse 40, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. Thus the picture. Begging. Think about the word begging. Have you ever had to beg anybody for anything? It's not the American way. Okay. We're proud. We're arrogant. We're tough. We're all rocks, right? We don't beg for anything. Have you ever been so miserable in life that you fell at somebody's feet and begged for help? I'm not talking professionally begging, people that make six figures begging. I'm talking about you hurt so bad, you're so in need, you're so distraught. All you can do is humble yourself and say, please help me. Have you ever been there? I dare say maybe a handful of people here. We can't even comprehend the emotional strife this man is going through. And then look at his humility. He says these words as you go on in verse 40. If you are willing, he's saying that to Jesus. If you're willing, which means you have a choice. If you're willing. Notice he doesn't walk up and say, well, you know, I'm a leper and I'm part of the leper political system here, and I'm entitled to you helping me. Do you like people that have that attitude? They're entitled. They feel they're entitled to you to meet their needs. Nay. That's not a biblical thing, folks. This man is not entitled. He's on his knees. He recognizes Jesus has a choice. Do you realize you have a choice in whether you want to help people or not? Nobody's entitled to receive kindness from you. That's what this passage is teaching. You have a choice on whether you want to give kindness to somebody. Isn't that a powerful thought? One of the key reasons people are not, they're not favorable towards our God is they don't see any kindness on our part. They see judgment. They see hypocrisy. They see people who say one thing in church and live a different lifestyle. That's hypocrisy in some sense, but actually it's pretty intentional. It's intentionally not representing God. We have a choice today when we walk out of here to be, it's a four-letter word. What's the word? To be kind to people. Nobody deserves your kindness. Your spouse doesn't deserve your kindness. You say, I love them. Love is an action of sacrifice for their benefit. But kindness is, I recognize there's a need in your life. I'm going to intentionally help you with that. So we see this guy here on his knees. You ever had anybody on their knees? How many people here, we'll include people because of women, I don't know what, that you got on your knee to propose? How many people would say, I was on my knee to propose? Not that many romantic people here. We need to see a good Cary Grant movie or something like that. How many have ever been on your knees by your bed praying for somebody? How many ever been put on your knees? We used to call this pinochle. I don't know where it got that name. You lock hands with somebody and you put them on their knees, right, Denny? How many have ever gone to their knees because you've got a friend who just grinned the whole time? It's more a guy thing. We're going to look at Jesus here. And what I want you to see is the actions Jesus did to display his kindness. Look at verse 39. There's seven actions here. Now see, if you just do a quick read, it's verse 39, 40, 41, 42. Four verses, but we see Jesus doing seven things. If you just calmly or quickly, read the Bible, check it off, it never affects your life. You got to stop yourself and say, what did I just read? What's this story teaching me? What do I see happening? And then, ding, 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 what will I do with that? So the first thing Jesus did is he placed himself in the midst of people. He did not live an isolated life. Verse 39, so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, driving out the demons. You know, there are too many church people. You live in isolation. Isolation. You come to church, you may be the last person in, but you're the what? First person out. You don't ever want to connect with anybody. Church for you is just, okay, I check it off my to-do list. Church is the family of God meeting together. And if you walk, now I understand if you had a flat tire and everybody else in church was not kind and they drove by you, okay, and you walk in at 10, I get that. But this is our spiritual family. We come early, we stay late so that we can build relationships with people. When I say walk across the room and we do some exercise, well, you have to get up and go talk to some of you, you're like a stinking little three-year-old. Okay, please get up, go walk across the room. If I gotta do it, I'll. And then you just stand there like Gollum in the Lord of the Rings. Or worse, you don't even get off your blessed assurance. You sit there at your stinking table when you're asked to go meet people, make them feel welcome, make them feel, and you sit there. And you expect somebody else to come to you as though you're Almighty God yourself. What is wrong with us? Jesus placed himself in the midst of people so that he could connect with people. That's what the Christian life is all about. Number two, Jesus stayed, if you're filling in the blanks, stayed near a specific person who was in need. We all have our own agendas. I have my agendas. But when he saw an individual who, as he observed them, he said, this person looks lonely. This person looks hurried. This person just looks sad. That person looks happy. This person looks frustrated. Oh, that's my wife. I was going to say frustrated. That's my wife. This person. Okay. He's in the midst of people. He's looking at people. And he's going, how can I be kind to that person? And you can't be kind if you ignore them. Jesus stayed near people so he could know people. Verse 40, you see that. In verse 40, he stays near this guy. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of him. It would have been rude just to walk off, don't you think, if you're Jesus? Guy falls on his knees in front of you, you go, yeah, whatever. You move. That's pretty rude. When we see somebody who's hurting, somebody in need, we need to invest a little bit of our time into that person and see if there's anything we could do. It could be as simple as, hey, it's good having you here today. You could smile. You could use your honest words. We always say, use your big words, use your little words. How about honest words? It's nice to have you with us today. You could go up and do this. Hey, it's good having you here. And you know what I did? We'll talk about this in a minute. I touched him. I let him know that he's cared for. I let him know that I know that he's here. I let him know that he's welcomed here by doing that. I didn't just look at him, walk by, going, I hate people with beards. Jesus stayed near a specific person. A person who is kind, hear me, has other priorities in their life than the average person. I'm going to give you some priorities. You want to be kind? Here's the priorities you need in your life. Their skills, their action set, their action sets that you can develop. One is you have to see people. Quit thinking about you and look at the people, especially in church, that God has brought here today. Look at them. A room full of weirdos, led by a weirdo. We're all human beings. Learn to see people. Open your eyes. Don't judge them. Don't be critical of them. But look at them and say, and think, God has brought this human being here. They could be doing almost anything else. They're here. And ask yourself, what can I do for this person? to let them know that we are grateful that they're here. You have to learn to see people and not look past people. You have to learn to seek people, not just see them. Seek them, which means you walk up to them, you shake hands, you touch them on the shoulder, you nod at them, you let them know that you know that they're here. And here's what some of you say, well, I don't know the person. And you always got that kind of look on your face when you say that. Then get to know them. You see them, seek them out. Can you seek out everybody? No, but you can seek out somebody. Then you have to sacrifice. You have to give a little bit of your time, a little bit of your energy. You might have to say, hey, to your peer group who you always sit with, say, I'm not sitting with you today. There's a new family over here. I want to get to know them. You got to sacrifice because God's church is about God, not about you. Then you got to learn to serve. What can we do to make somebody else's life a little nicer? And oftentimes what I do, if I meet you, I try to introduce you to somebody else. So I say, where do you live? Hastings. Oh, I say, this person over here lives in Hastings. I try to connect you. That's serving you. One of the things I try to do on a regular basis, when you walk in, if you're a new person, here's what I try to look at you. Okay, you're new. You do not know where our bathrooms are. So I'm not going to let you guess because I've gone places before and I'm going. And especially if you got a little kid. And I try to tell people where the coffee shop is. The free coffee and the really expensive coffee of $3 a cup or whatever it is. Can we be nicer to our visitors? Yes or no? So when are you going to start? How about this week? So those are just some of the priorities that we have to have. In the last, Jesus stayed with this guy. We can't stay with people and invest our whole life in them. But you got to stay long enough so they know that you notice them and that you care about them. It doesn't matter if they like you or not. We're trying to be Jesus to people. Do you realize, get this, not everybody liked Jesus. So where do you get off thinking everybody's got to like you? We're doing this for Jesus, to this person. Does that help you? Third, Jesus listened to the pain and perspective of others. He listens to the man. And you have to, as I'm reading this, this is how I study the Bible. Okay, this man said something to him. What did Jesus really hear the man say? You know, it's possible to hear somebody's words and still not know what they say. Heavy? Is that true? Very true. You can hear words. You can nod your head like a woodpecker. But you know what? It's possible not to know what they mean by what they said. Jesus is listening to them. In the Matthew and the Luke passages of the same story, it's not told to us here in Mark, the leper says to him, Lord, if you're willing. The word Lord is used in different ways in the Bible. And the way it's used in Matthew and the way it's used in Luke is basically a term of respect. It's not saying, you're my Savior. He's saying, I've heard things about you. I respect you. I believe in you. I think that you really care about me. Sometimes when people are talking to us, we just don't listen. We hear, but we don't what? Okay, typical. Hi, what's your name? Bill. Bill, nice to meet you. What's your name? Carissa. Hey, it's nice to have the two of you here today. What was there? Any of you deal with that? Because you're a weirdo. I'm a weirdo. Sometimes all we care about is our agenda, what we've got next. We're trying to be polite. Polite is not kindness. Politeness can be very self-serving. So sometimes when we're listening to people, we have to really listen to them. He calls Jesus Master. He believed that Jesus cared. He says, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. This is what I call simple faith. He believed in the man Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus' the Son of God. It's a stepping stone. There's nowhere in this that we hear that this leper, we would say, becomes a Christian. He didn't immediately become a Baptist, pick up his Bible, and go knock on doors. All right? He simply believed in a human being, which is always a stepping stone to getting a person to God. Who did Heather believe in? Who did she believe in? Kelly and Paul. Human beings are the stepping stone towards helping our friends and family members come to Jesus. That if we have a credible life, we show kindness to them. It's amazing where that relationship can go. So you and I just simply have to learn to listen better to somebody and realize that we are just a stepping stone in this person's journey towards God. You're not the Savior. So on Sunday morning, you're not here to save anybody. You're here to be a stepping stone. You're here to be a connecting piece between them and the church, between the church and God. Does that make sense? Number four, Jesus allowed himself to feel pain and to be empathetic. In verse 41, he says he was filled. What's the word filled implied? Is that glass filled? If it was that tall, it would be. It's not filled. Filled to the point of overflowing. Jesus is filled to the point of overflowing. The word compassion means his guts are churning. He's so emotional about this man and about his situation. The word conveys a multiplicity of various levels of emotion. He's angry over the sin of the world. He's angry over the sickness. He's angry that none of his disciples came up to try to help. I think Jesus is sad. I think he desires to help. I think Jesus looks at him and sees the potential of what this human life can be if he comes to know. That's compassion. You look at the whole picture, not just a little sliver. As you read the Bible, you see over and over and over, Jesus is moved. Jesus is filled with compassion every time he does something physical. Don't say you have compassion for people unless you're doing something to try to alleviate that need, that pain in their life. Some people just don't want to be empathetic. I just don't want to care, because caring involves being messy with somebody else. Caring involves you have to give up time. Caring involves that I've got to listen to your story. Caring means I have to check up on you. So it's just easier not to care, to have compassion. If we're going to be like Jesus, we've got to allow our heart to what? To open a bit. Number five, Jesus responded personally. I love this. Verse 41, and the last verse was 41a. That's a technical, biblical way to say the very first part of the verse. This is 41b. Jesus responded personally. He reached out his... Notice he didn't say to his disciples, could you guys take care of this? Could you clean up the mess? Aisle 7, please, we have a mess. Could you clean it up? No, Jesus reached out. Do you realize that this is insanity in the Jewish culture? You don't touch a leper. You don't touch a leper. In fact, you run from a leper. Okay? He reached out his hand. He said, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to get off their lazy butt chair and do something. Somebody has to make a move. I'm always amazed. Here's disciples that have been with Jesus for a long time. They don't do anything. They're eating popcorn at the table. They're not trying to meet anybody, help anybody. Jesus is constantly reaching out from his comfort zone into the zone of somebody else. Look at number six. And then he did the unthinkable. Oh, my word, what is wrong with Jesus? He touched the person. I love this picture. In the movie, Augie becomes friends with a boy who looks beneath his exterior, and he sees that Augie is a boy just like him. Augie needs friends just like he does. Augie has interests just like he does. And it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter your skin color, doesn't matter your political system, he reached out and he hugged the boy. Who hugs people like that? Who touches lepers? Jesus. You see why it's such a good film? You watch this film as parents, you're teaching your kids about kindness, teaching them about priority, you're teaching about humanity. So he reached out and he touched this person. Touch can be done in many ways. It doesn't have to be physical. You know, if you lock eyes with somebody while you're talking to them and not looking there at your phone, you've touched them. When you get near to somebody and rather stand across the room, you get within 18 inches, the acceptable American distance for a relationship, you get within 18 inches of somebody, they feel like you care. When you share about your life, you're touching somebody. Number 7, Jesus served as the conduit of God's grace. Look at verse 41, the latter part, 41D, to be technical. Master, Lord, if you're willing. And I love Jesus' response. Yeah, it's not your day. Come back on Tuesday. Aren't you glad when he came up to Jesus, he didn't get somebody in India, with one of those service lines, hello, after about 5,000 rings. He came up to Jesus. He said, if you're willing. And Jesus said this, I am willing. Be healed. Wouldn't that be a nice trick? See somebody with cancer and go, healed. None of us can do that. That's a Jesus thing. But all of us can say, I love you. I care about you. I've got time for you. How can I help you? Does that make sense? We can be the conduit for God's grace. And when you look at verse 41, the latter part of that, I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. The beauty of kindness is you think of a pillow and you take your finger and you push it and it indents. We make an indention, if you will, into somebody's life when we're kind. We soften them up for the Holy Spirit. We soften them up for the next person. We soften them up so they're not bitter, they're not angry, and that they actually feel, I can make it at least one more day when we're kind to them. We can be a conduit of God's grace. The movie Wonder teaches us many principles. It teaches you and I how to deal with the painful moments and people that we encounter in life. You can either run and hide or you can be kind. Run and hide or be kind. Ignore them or be kind. Reject them or be kind. It teaches us that. It's a training film for your family. It truly is. I love this movie. I laugh when I watch it. Why? Because they're fifth graders. What's not to love about a fifth grader? They're adorable little creatures. They haven't become teenagers yet. You will cry as you watch this. And you cry for the kids that are portrayed, but even for the bullies, you'll cry for them. How can they be so unthinking? But you know what you'll cry over? Because you'll remember the times in your life when you were hurt. And you remember the times when you intentionally hurt others. You lashed out at them. And you'll be angry at humanity. And one of the things I learned from watching this several times, I get angry at me. What's the matter with you, idiot? I don't ever say, you're a pastor, you should live different. Here's what I say, you're a stinking human being. Why don't you act like a human being and treat people nicely? I get mad at me. I'm not just mad at other people, I get mad at me because I know better now. And I still don't practice it to the degree that I should. You may question, is life fair? You may be motivated to stand up. I would hope you'd watch the movie and do something positive as a family or as a person to be a little kinder in the world we live in. In the online notes, I've included some questions and some things there for you if you want to look at it and actually go a little further with your family. But simple lesson, choose, what's the word? Kindness. look at somebody today. I don't even know you, do I? Very well. I'm a weirdo, and I'm glad to have you here today. And here's what I'm going to say to you. Choose kindness this week. Be kind. Turn to somebody at your table. Just tell them to remind them, be kind this week. Do it. As our worship team comes up, as our worship team prepares to lead us in a couple songs, let me pray for you. Father, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful that we can look at media of all different kinds and we can glean things from it that apply to your word and can be applicable to our life. May we as your church, may we as your children be nicer this week. May we be kind when we have a chance. May we intentionally look for people that we can be kind to and take advantage of these opportunities. And Lord, we're not all going to be perfect in that, but we can be a little kinder than what we have been. May we do so, and in doing so, people will know that there really is a God who likes us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.